ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5th चैप्टर 18 द रेसिडेंट्स ऑफ जंबुद्वीप ऑफर्स प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट 14 एंड 15 तस्मात् राजो राग विषाद मन्यो मानस्पृहा भय दैन्याधिमूलम् हित्वा गृहं संस्कृति चक्रवालम् नृसिंह पादं भजतो कुतो भयमिति। कृष्ण वैष्णव प्रभुपाद। Therefore, O demons, give up this so-called happiness of family life and simply take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Narsingadev, which are the actual shelter of fearlessness. Entanglement in family life is a root cause of material attachment, indefatigable desires, moroseness, anger, despair, fear, and a desire for false prestige, all of which result in the repetition of birth and death. There is no purpose, so we'll go ahead. Text 15. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Shukadev Goswami continued, in the tract of land called Ketu Mala Varsha, Lord Vishnu lives in the form of Kamadev, only for the satisfaction of his devotees. These include Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, the Prajapati Samvatsar, and all of Samvatsara's sons and daughters. The daughters of Prajapati are considered the controlling deities of the nights, and his sons are considered the controllers of the day. The Prajapati's offerings number 36,000, one for each day and each night in the lifetime of a human being. At the end of each year, the Prajapati's daughters become very agitated upon seeing the extremely effulgent disc of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they all suffer miscarriages. Purport. This Kamadev, who appears as Krishna's son, named Pradyumna, is Vishnu Tattva. How this is so is explained by Madhvacharya, who quotes from Brahman Puran, Kamadeva Sitam Vishnum Upasate. Although this Kamadev is Vishnu Tattva, his body is not spiritual, but material. Lord Vishnu as Pradyumna or Kamadev accepts a material body, but he still acts spiritually. It does not make any difference whether he accepts a spiritual or material body. He can act spiritually in any condition of existence. Mayavadi philosophers regard even Lord Krishna's body as material, but their opinions cannot impede the spiritual activity of the Lord. Om Agyan. So we welcome all the devotees who have come from different parts of the world. Some of you have come from hectic yatra. So here in this two verses, we can see that the residents of Jambudvip, they are offering different prayers to the residing deities of those particular places. As you can see in the previous chapters, Srila Shukadeva Goswami has already explained the description of Jambudvip. He explained that Jambudvip is a part of Bhumandala, Bhumandala is said to be in the form of a lotus flower. And few days before, we had seen that how Radha Vallabha Prabhu had given a very wonderful scientific presentation of how this Bhumandala is appearing and what is this Sumeru mountain, golden mountain is there. So here we can see that at the center of this lotus is Jambudvip. And this Jambudvip has different varshas or different planets where different deities are being worshipped. And in the beginning we can see that Shukadeva Goswami explains that there is Bhadrashva Varsha, where the predominant ruling of that planet is Bhadrashava. And the devotees worship their Lord as Hayagriva. Hayagriva appeared when the demon named Agyan, he stole the Vedas. And again, the Supreme Lord, he killed this demon and brought the Vedas back and gave to Brahmaji. And in these verses, we can see that there is another Varsha, Hari Varsha, where Lord Narsingadev is being worshipped by Prahlad Maharaj and devotees. Shukadev Goswami explains here that the detailed prayers by Prahlad Maharaj and the story of Lord Narsingadev will be explained in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here he is giving a small synopsis of the different prayers offered by Prahlad Maharaj. And we can see that these prayers are so wonderful. And Prahlad Maharaj is praying the Supreme Lord Narsingadev. First of all, he is praising the Lord at how he is all powerful and how he protects his devotees. And he is praying that please let us free us from these material desires. And he explains that these desires are like demon-like desires for fruitive activities in this material world. Here we can see that the purpose of Vedas is to become free from material attachments and to become attached to the Supreme Lord. That is the purpose of human form of life. Of course, not everyone is able to give up all the desires all of a sudden. So therefore, Vedas recommend that Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. Pravritti Marg means regulated sense gratification. And in that, Karma Kanda division is given where one can satisfy his material desires according to the injunctions of the scriptures and does gradually become detached from this material world. However, here Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that even those desires, he is comparing like demon-like desires. Although there is a scope for some kind of sense gratification, but he is saying that these are demonic desires. And we want to become free from such desires. So we can see that Prahlad Maharaj is offering such prayers on the highest platform. And then he is praying for the welfare of all living beings. He is saying that let there be welfare throughout the universe. Swastyasya Vishvasya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when the devotees offer prayers, they pray to the Supreme Lord, there is some kind of desire is there. But this desire is not material. The desire for the welfare of all living beings. And here we can see that how this is perfectly exemplified by Prahlad Maharaj, that he is praying that let there be welfare throughout the universe. And let all living beings be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Because if someone is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, he will naturally think for the welfare of the others. If one practices this process of Krishna consciousness, then one naturally becomes broad-minded. He doesn't remain self-centered. Being self-centered is material consciousness again, aham mameti, me and mine. But when somebody becomes Krishna conscious, he thinks everything in terms of Krishna or everything related with Krishna. And therefore, he naturally thinks for the welfare of others. And Prahlad Maharaj, we can see that he is praying to the Supreme Lord Narsingadev that let people become free from envy. His father himself was a great demon. And when Lord Narsingadev appeared to kill his father, still he prayed for the welfare of his father. Let him become liberated, free from this disease of material attachments. Then Prahlad Maharaj is explaining, he's praying to the Supreme Lord that let us become detached from all different types of attachments in this material world, like the home, the attachment to the family and bank balance and so many things he's explaining. Because these attachments will cause us more suffering. And he's praying that where we should repose all our attachment. We should repose over all our attachments to a pure devotee of the Lord. Then only we can become free from the repetition of cycle of birth and death. It is explained that the doors for liberation are open when somebody serves the pure devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, the doors for hellish planets are open. Tamo dwaram yoshitam sangis. That one who serves the devotee of the Lord, that then the doors for liberation are open. He becomes free from this material world. That is the power of serving a pure devotee of the Lord. Because a pure devotee of the Lord, he is not attached to this material world. He will always think that how other people, those who are suffering in this material world, it appears that they are enjoying, but actually it's suffering. Because any desire or any happiness of this material we can take, it has an end. Yahi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yona evate adyanta vanta kaunteya nuteshu ramate buddha. One who is intelligent, he will be able to see that this pleasure may give some temporary happiness, but it has an end. It can't give me eternal happiness. And I'm looking for eternal happiness. Because that is the nature of the soul. The spirit soul is eternal. So it can't be satisfied with temporary happiness. Eternal soul can't be satisfied with temporary happiness, because the happiness, whatever of this material world, is temporary. And even somebody may go to heavenly planets and stay there for thousands of years enjoy there, but still he has to come down. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Narjuna. Still it can't be freed from cycle of birth and death. So therefore Srila Prabhupada explains that the spirit soul can only be satisfied when he achieves the eternal happiness. Eternal spirit soul can be satisfied with only eternal happiness. And that is possible on the transcendental platform, that is on the spiritual platform. When he comes in contact with eternal, then only he can get some gleams of eternal happiness. And therefore, how to practice this devotional service under proper guidance is very important. Otherwise, we may think that this is eternal happiness, but we may be running after material happiness. Because the illusory potency of the Lord is very, very powerful. Here, the residents of Harivarsha and Bhadrashvavarsha, they are also praying that although those who are great philosophers, Vedantis, they also realize that Supreme Absolute Truth in their trance meditations, but still sometimes they also get bewildered by the material energy. And Lord Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that Daivyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durate, that this divine energy of mine is very difficult to work. It's not so easy. Mame vaya prapadyante, maya metam tarantite. But how one can overcome? When somebody takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. Mame vaya prapadyante, maya metam tarantite. Then one can very easily cross over. But one has to take shelter very firmly. And he should not give up that shelter at any time. Because although one may progress in spiritual life, he may practice for so many years, but still there is a danger. If one is not alert, material energy can overwhelm very easily. One may think that I am doing so good, I have practiced for so many years, and now I can dictate others. I can give orders to others. Everyone should obey me. So instead of becoming das, dasana, das, we reverse everything. We want everyone to become our das. So that we have to be very careful that we don't come into that trap. And therefore we have to hear every day. And we should know that how this mental energy is so powerful that it can, within one moment, if I'm not alert, it can overwhelm. And again, we'll go back to the same place. So therefore, here, prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, he's praying that we want to become free from all these material attachments. And we want to repose all our attachment to the pure devotee of the Lord, whose dear friend is Lord Krishna. That is a pure devotee. That pure devotee will not claim himself to be God. Like in today's Kali Yuga, there are so many incarnations coming up that they pose themselves to be God, incarnations of Kalki Avatar, and lot of things are going on. But a pure devotee will never claim himself to be God. And even somebody wants to offer any service to him, he will simply offer to his spiritual master. And it will be ultimately directed to the Supreme Lord. So that proper consciousness is important actually. How one should not accept means for one's benefit anything. But one should simply think that I'm an instrument. And even somebody is thinking of worshipping me, this is not for my worship. Even the spiritual master is not thinking that this is for me. So in this way we can see that here in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, therefore, O demons, give up the so-called happiness of family life and simply take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Narsingadev, which are the actual shelter of fearlessness. Entanglement in family life is a root cause of mental attachment, indefatigable desires, moroseness, anger, despair, fear, and desire for false prestige, all of which result in the repetition of birth and death. So here we can see that how Prahlad Maharaj is addressing someone as, O demons. Because there in Harivarsh there are all devotees of the Lord are there. Means someone may wonder that. And he is saying that give up all this so-called happiness. So he is addressing, means these prayers are for everyone in one sense, because those who are attached. So he is saying that these type of demon-like desires have to be given up, which will again cause this bondage in this mortal world. Because these desires differentiate or make the distinction what a person is, where he is associating, that will decide whether he is demonic or divine. Because the spirit soul is by nature spiritual, it's pure. But when the spirit soul, it comes in contact with mortal nature, according to different degrees of modes of mortal nature, one can become divine or he can become demonic. Purusha prakritisto hi bhungte prakriti jan guna karanam gunasangasya sadasadyoni janmasu. It explained that Purusha prakritisto hi, when the living entity tries to become Purusha, the enjoyer in this mortal world, then he associates with different modes of mortal nature. And because of that, then sadasadyoni janmasu. Then he transmigrates through different species. Sometimes aquatics, animals, sometimes demigods. So in this way, the same spirit soul, how it comes in contact with mortal nature, he receives different types of bodies and then he has to act accordingly. But when the same spirit soul comes as a human being, then he has a choice to become free from the cycle of birth and death. Athato brahma jidnyasa. Therefore it is explained that now one should inquire about the Supreme Absolute Truth and become free from this repetition of cycle of birth and death. Here the word is used, Sanskruti Chakravalam. That means a cycle of repeated birth and death. And this is going on since so many lifetimes. So many human forms we might have taken, but we have lost that opportunity. Again the Supreme Lord is so merciful that He has given again this one more chance. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is explained that one who is really very fortunate, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavanaji, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That one is very, very fortunate. Then one can get the seed of devotional service. At one verse, one Vaishnava devotee explains that one may achieve the human form of life. That is not difficult. But to get spiritual master is more difficult. Because according to law of karma, again he will get human form of life. But to come in contact with spiritual master, is very rare. So therefore, if by good fortune, by the mercy of the Lord, one has received or has come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, spiritual master, then one should realize that this is a great mercy of the Lord, that now the Lord has given me this chance to become free from the cycle of birth and death eternally. And what he is offering eternal life, full of bliss, full of knowledge, and the spiritual world, where one doesn't have to become old, doesn't have to suffer different diseases, or doesn't have to die. He will remain eternally there. So that is the that's what one will achieve if one practices devotional service properly. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that therefore one should give up these material desires and become attached to the devotee of the Lord, serving the pure devotee of the Lord. And then one will achieve the higher happiness, the higher taste. And we can see that Prahlad Maharaj again came as Vasudevdat in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. And in Gaur Ganesh Dipika, it is explained that Mukunda Datta and Vasudeva Datta, they were two brothers, Madhukanta and Madhukanta, Madhuvrata. In Lord Krishna's Leela, Madhuvrata appeared as Vasudeva Datta. And he appeared at a place named Chattagram, which is now in Bangladesh. And they were great singers, and they would sing for the pleasure of the Lord. And as we know that when Mukunda Datta was like Lord Chaitanya's classmate, he was Lord Chaitanya's friend, and Mukunda Datta would sing and Lord Chaitanya would dance. Vasudeva Datta was elder to Mukunda Datta. And when later he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he begged for the mercy of the Lord. And he was praying his younger brother, and he told that although Mukunda Datta is younger to me, but because he has received your mercy first, he is senior to me. And he is so fortunate that he has received your mercy. So that is the consciousness of Vasudeva Datta, that he is not thinking that he is my younger brother and I should receive the mercy first. He is praying, he is accepting even his younger brother as superior. And it is explained that Vasudeva Datta was so compassionate. He would pray for welfare of all the living beings. And he was praying that let all these living beings, those who are suffering in the material world, let them go back home, back to Godhead. And let me suffer for their sinful reactions. I don't mind suffering in this material world for many, many lifetimes. But those who are suffering now, let them achieve love of Godhead. Let them perfect their life and go back home, back to Godhead. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard this, he was so pleased with Vasudeva Datta that three times he told his devotees that I am Vasudeva Datta's man. My body is simply for the pleasure of Vasudeva Datta. And I am sold out to him. Whatever he wants, he can do with me. So we can see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Vasudeva Datta that he was ready to do anything for him. Of course, Vasudeva Datta, he would not accept that, means he would not get puffed up because of that, oh, Lord Chaitanya is accepting, now I can't do anything. But he would serve the devotees, and he would spend lavishly for devotees' requirements. And when Lord Chaitanya saw that he's not keeping anything for himself and he's serving so much, then he appointed Shivananda Sen as his secretary. He told Shivananda Sen that you just see that he has his proper bank balance for himself, at least he should keep something for him because he is spending so much. Of course, this was out of compassion he was doing. So, that is the mood of Vasudevadatta. And then it is explained that his disciple was Yadunandan Acharya, whose disciple was Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami accepted Yadunandan Acharya. So we can see that how these devotees, they pray to the Supreme Lord, not for their own welfare, but for the welfare of all living beings. That is the proper consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada also, in the same mood of Prahlad Maharaj and Vasudevadatta, he went to the western countries to help those who are suffering in this material world. Out of compassion, he could see that how people are suffering in this material world. They were thinking that they are enjoying, but they were actually suffering. They did not know what is real happiness. And Srila Prabhupada went out of compassion and he struggled so much to establish this ISKCON society. He has established so many temples, wrote so many books, and means inspired so many devotees all over the world. This is out of compassion of Srila Prabhupada, because he wanted that this consciousness, this Krishna consciousness movement should spread everywhere. Everyone should get benefit, not only mine. He was not thinking that, okay, I am an old man now, I can go, I want to just stay at Vrindavan. No. He brought Vrindavan to the whole world. This was all out of compassion. And therefore we should pray to Srila Prabhupada that I don't have such consciousness as you have, but let me also get some kind of attachment to serving this mission, so that at least I can help to some degree according to my capacity. Because his mission was great actually, he wanted to do so much. And he said that almost means 50% I have done, means now you have to complete. At one time he said that you have, whatever I have done, you just maintain that. Even if you are not able to create something new, but even if you just maintain what I have created, that itself is great. So therefore, when we read these purports and come regularly to temple, associate with devotees and practice devotional service in sincere consciousness, then we will see that how this process is working. It is not just theoretical explanation that, okay, you chant and this will happen. But we'll see practically in life that how devotees are perfecting their lives. Means they are getting factual realizations in their lives that yes, this process is working. And Srila Prabhupada, so many disciples, they are quite old. They have sincerely assisted him in his mission. And when they are now leaving their bodies, we can see that we are sure that they are going back home, back to God. Last year also we can see that His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was also in the same mood of Vasudevadatta. He was also praying that, let me suffer, but let others get the benefit. And we can see that Within short time, Srila Prabhupada answered his prayers and he went back to him. So we can see that this process is perfect. It works perfectly. And if someone has proper consciousness, then it will work. He may not be like a big devotee that giving big lectures or knowing so many verses by heart, or able to distribute so many thousands of books, or maybe expert in so many different things, but even he may be a simple devotee. Krishna will recognize that yes, he is practicing sincerely. Because it is ultimately the matter of consciousness. What is our consciousness? That matters. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, but difficult for the complicated. So therefore, if you are simple, then it's very simple. But if we complicate the thing, then it will become complicated. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any questions or comments? One question.
In your lecture you told that this material happiness is temporary and spiritual happiness is eternal. But in the neophyte stage, we don't get any glimpse of the eternal happiness, and we have so much attachment for temporary happiness. So what is the force by which we can give temporary happiness, even though we can't see what is spiritual happiness?
Can you speak a little clearly?
You told in the lecture that spiritual happiness is eternal and temporary happiness means material happiness is temporary. So in the neophyte stage, we don't have any glimpse of the eternal happiness, and we have so much attachment for temporary happiness. So what is the force by which, even though we don't get any experience of spiritual happiness, we can give that temporary happiness?
Vishya vinivartante niraha arasya dehina raso varjam raso pyasya param drishta nivartate. It explained that in the beginning one may not get the higher taste. Lower taste will still remain there. But one has to practice giving up lower things. Seizing such attachments, one develops the higher taste. It's not that for some time you chant Hare Krishna, then again go back, because you are not developing the taste, you are not achieved the highest taste. You have to make a determined effort to give up that material desires, material attachments. Otherwise, again those desires will come again. We have to be determined to give up those things. And at the same time, practice sincerely. We may not have highest taste in the beginning. And it's not so easy also to develop highest taste. But still, if you practice sincerely, Krishna will see your endeavor and give the higher taste. Even in the material world also, one may not have taste for material happiness. But still, after practicing, he develops a taste. Like for example, in colleges, when these students, they go in the colleges, they are simple, they are not addicted to smoking or drinking anything, isn't it? But they develop the taste. It's painful, but still they develop the taste for that. Even in the material world we can see. And they can't give it up. Because they are now addicted to that. That because they are cultivating that. Even in the material world we can see that. So what to speak of spiritual? You are spiritual, you are eternal. You are thinking that you are this material body. You have forgotten your eternal nature, how you are powerful, that you have forgotten, and you are considering yourself to be material body, weak and not able to do anything. But once you practice sincerely, once you realize that, oh, why should I become so much attached to this? Once you practice then sincerely, pray to the Lord, chant Hare Krishna, and you'll see that slowly things will work. Spiritual life, it is explained that this is poison in the beginning. One may think that, oh, I have to give up so many things and I don't have any taste for chanting the holy name. This is poison in the beginning. But it will turn into nectar. You will say, oh, at least I didn't waste my time going here and there. I am chanting. Many friends will ridicule you that, oh, what you are chanting, what will help? You are wasting time. Or you have become sadhu. Like that, they will mock at you. But you just wait. You just do it sincerely. Afterwards, they will start coming to you. They will ask, oh, how to get free from all these troubles? Because material nature will frustrate. It will frustrate those who are trying to become enjoys in the material world. Some kind of disease, some kind of anxiety. So that is there. So in the beginning it's like poison, but once you practice it sincerely, it will turn into nectar. Material happiness is like nectar in the beginning. Isn't it? Oh, very nice. But then it will turn into poison. Once you can see the reaction, what reaction you are going to get, then you will see that better not do those things. Now we're in the 18th chapter. After some time we'll get 26th chapter, which describes the different hellish planets. Somebody can attend those lectures. He will definitely develop a higher test. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any other question?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you told Krishna conscious process is simple for simple and difficult for complicated. What if one's nature is complicated? How to become simple? How to purify our thinking process?
One should become simple. Yeah, means if you know that you are complicated, then we should try to become simple. Complicated means unnecessarily do some kind of speculation. This means that, and here, of course, I didn't touch the next verse, but here Srila Prabhupada is explaining that that the Supreme Lord, He accepted, in this Ketumala Varsha, He accepted the body, material body, although it is spiritual. Although He is spiritual, He accepted the material body. And Srila Prabhupada explains that whether He accepts a spiritual or material body, He can act spiritually in any condition of existence. So that is very clear. The Supreme Lord can act spiritually in any condition, whether His body may be material or spiritual, it doesn't matter. Devotee will accept very easily. But those who are complicated, they will think that no, when He comes, He takes this material body, He becomes material. He gets affected by the modes of material nature. He has to come under the law of karma. Isn't it? All these speculations start. Once you deviate little bit here and there, all these speculation will start. But somebody accepts simply, okay, this is given by pure devotee in a parampara. I just accept it. One may think that, oh, how one can accept simply. But that will save a lot of time. Srila Prabhupada explains that one time. That one, if you accept what is, a simple child may not know that 2 plus 2 is 4. He simply is repeating that 2 plus 2 is 4. So he might not have studied properly, just he's repeating whatever is explained by the teacher, but still is correct. And due course of time, it will be revealed to him. He will realize those truths. So similarly, we may not realize everything in the beginning, but even if you simply repeat as it is, without any adulteration or without any subtraction, you don't add or subtract, you just repeat as it is. And in due course, you practice sincerely, then in due course of time, everything will be revealed to you. You may not be literate, you may not be intelligent enough to understand all these Sanskrit words and everything. But if you are practicing sincerely, Krishna within the heart will reveal. Whatever is necessary for you, He will reveal. So that is simple. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to south. There was one illiterate Brahmana was there. He was reading Bhagavad Gita, holding book upside down or crying by seeing the form of the Lord. And all other, there were so many pandits were there, they were doing so many rituals. They were laughing at him, mocking at him. But he was not giving up his duty, because his spiritual master had told to read Bhagavad Gita every day. And we can see that because of that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased. And he received the mercy of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya told that you have understood the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, if someone is simple, then things become very simple. But if one is complicated, then everything becomes complicated. Okay? Yes?
Prabhuji, what is that thin line between repeating the words of acharyas and blind following?
Blind following means it should not be like parrot-like repeating. Shalom Prabhupada explained that this parrot repeats also the similar way. It should not be like that. But if you are practicing sincerely, certain truths will be revealed to you. And then you speak according to your realization. And you are repeating also, you repeat, but you don't have to speak very lofty philosophy, that because everyone is speaking, let me also speak. You speak according to your own realizations. Now you are in the, say, first standard, you speak according to first standard. Once you graduate, then you can speak according. Once you realize from within that, yes, this is what I have learned and I have realized. Just because everyone is speaking esoteric things, therefore even means sometimes one gets under pressure, peer pressure, that okay. If I don't speak accordingly, then I'm not a pure devotee. Not like that. Speak according to your realization. And you see what is the audience in front of you. Desha Kala Patra. If someone is very simple, means he doesn't know very big things, students, you know what level you should speak. You should not unnecessarily cram them with some higher philosophy. So that one has to be a little expert in speaking. What is the means to whom we are preaching, whether he is able to follow or not. Otherwise we may think that, oh, I am speaking so nice, but he is not following. Or sometimes we may think that, okay, now I got a good opportunity of speaking, and let me speak so heavily that sometimes devotees come into that mood. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu explains that operation is successful, but patient is dead. And that should not happen. Okay. Hare Krishna. I think it should not become too late now. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki.